lots to do today. The veto session in Springfield, you know, it was yesterday there was a lot of ups and downs, and today we thought would be a lot of positive things for Chicago to be coming out. And this mostly because the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, went down and talked to some of the Democrat lawmakers last night. Did anything get done, and did Chicago get what it wanted to get to help with some of the budget woes? Heather Cherone is the managing editor at the Daily Line, and she joins us every Wednesday to talk about all things Chicago, Cook County, and Springfield politics. Heather, great to talk to you.
Happy to be here, Justin.
All right, so let's get right into it. So there was a lot of optimism and possible, potential for big things for Chicago out of this veto session. But as the day wraps up, I'm not sure if we got what we thought we were going to get.
I think Lori Lightfoot is about 24 hours away from coming out of this veto session completely empty-handed.
Mm. Wow. And that's hard to believe because all the reports this morning was that she got a lot of great marks for being at the meeting last night and talking to the lawmakers, that they really liked how she pitched everything that Chicago needed, and they were thinking about helping us out.
Right, and I think there was a lot of optimism, and people were certainly sort of amazed to see a Chicago mayor in a Democratic caucus in Springfield. Nobody could really remember the last time that had happened. The problem is that what the mayor needs from them is very difficult things, and negotiations are still ongoing on the mayor's number one priority, which would be changes to the way a Chicago casino would be structured. But everybody pretty much agrees that the number two request, which would have raised real estate transfer taxes, is dead in the water.
Hmm. And yeah, there was thought that possibly it seemed like maybe Governor Pritzker and others were thinking about the change in the way the casino was structured. But even tonight, there's talk that might not even be brought up, and that might be a non-starter in this session.
Right. So Mayor Lightfoot said last night when she was briefing reporters that she thought there had been some good progress on that, and that she expected language would be introduced early this morning, and it was, and there was a subject matter hearing in the Senate. The only problem is that since we're in veto session, bills have to originate in the House. So that was sort of a false start, if you will.
Yeah,
so it
right.
gave everybody sort of a look at what was happening, but it didn't really advance anything. And then there was talk late today that the Senate was actually going to take up the whole bill and basically send it over to the House and say, hey, pass this, and let's get this moving because time is of the essence. But that apparently is not happening because negotiations are underway right now. And we know a little bit about what the compromise is shaping up to be, but it basically would sort of increase the taxes on the games and give the operator a longer period of time, 6 years instead of 3 years, to basically give the city a larger cut of what the gambling brings in. But that all is really up in the air. What's interesting is that the casino won't have any impact on the city's 2020 budget, but it does have a lot to do with what that 2021 budget will look like. So the mayor is really trying to plan for the future. The city's financial picture doesn't get any easier anytime soon.
Yeah. Okay, so, and I want to get to what that means, because when we talked last week and the week before, the warning was is if the mayor went down to Springfield and didn't get these two issues addressed, that she would have to come back to Chicago and raise property taxes or find other forms of revenue to balance this budget, which was so out of whack. So what does that mean for us right now? Does that mean that Chicagoans listening to our program right now should brace themselves for or getting some sort of property tax?
Well, what we know is that assuming that the real estate transfer tax does not change, and nobody believes that it will, the mayor basically found $50 million of more cuts and savings. So that plugs that hole this year. So there's no property tax needed, she says, to fill that.
Okay.
However, there is a property tax hike included in the budget. $18 million will go to reopen the libraries on Sundays. And then we learned this week, and Alderman learned this week, that back in the spring, Alderman agreed to retire some of the city's debt, and in doing so, approved a $39 million property tax hike.
What?
Now, I sit through all of those city council meetings, and I can tell you there was no big debate or even a mention of that happening. So it caught me off guard, it caught other reporters off guard, and it caught aldermen off guard. But Lori Lightfoot's finance team has been very insistent to say, look, this was in place when we took office. We didn't do it. This was in place, you know, when we, you know, unlocked the office. So it just is what it is. So the other thing that we don't really know is that the budget includes $163 million from the federal government to the state government to the city government to reimburse the city for ambulance rides for people who are on government assistance. But nobody knows when the federal government is going to approve those reimbursements or even if they're going to approve those reimbursements. And I'm not sure when the city sort of needs that money by and right. What would happen if it doesn't materialize in time for the city to use that money to, you know, keep the lights on and stuff like that.
You know, Mayor Lightfoot and her finance team can blame it on the past mayor, but the idea that aldermen didn't recognize that they were increasing property taxes for Chicago residents, they're going to be the ones that really fit the bill when they have to go talk to their constituents. They're not going to be stepping in line on this, are they?
You know, it's sort of mind-boggling because, you know, it's not a huge increase. So, you know, by comparison, Rahm Emanuel in 2015 pushed through a $589 million property tax hike.
Right.
So it's magnitudes different. But, you know, there's been so much talk about people being really sort of exhausted and pushed limit on property taxes, but it seems like you would want to keep an eye on every little bit of that.
And the other thing, too, is about refinancing debt. We kind of talked about this a little bit last night, but this idea that we continue to refinance, and this was something that the last mayor did every time there was a new budget, that they seemed to be refinancing our debt, which is tantamount to kicking the can down the road. You know, there's so much been made about, you know, dealing with the way we run the city and how we deal with finances in the city. Is it shaping up to be a reform-minded budget? Is it shaping up to be a different city council or a different city hall when it comes to balancing our books?
So the mayor's finance team would say absolutely 100% yes. We're being much more transparent about where the money is going, where the money is coming from. But the budget does hinge on refinancing $1.3 billion in debt. So the mayor says this is no different than you or I having a mortgage, let's say, at 6% interest. Well, the interest rates right now are hovering somewhere around 4%.
Right.
So if we've got good credit, we could go and refinance our mortgage at 4%, and that would save us money over the life of the mortgage. And the city is expecting to do exactly that, to save about $215 million over the life of this debt, which is about 10 years. However, the city is going to bank all of those savings in 2020 to help us get through this sort of, you know, huge fiscal crisis, which is not, you know, anybody's idea of good financial practice.
Yeah, and it reminds us of the days of that ramp, right? I mean, we see that with pensions. We see it with, but I mean, that's something that at the end of the day put a big target on Rahm Emanuel's back when he was deciding if he was going to run for re-election or not. There are a lot of people saying that that practice and the practice of refinancing debt and continuing to do that from him and his predecessor, Mayor Daley, have put us in just financial ruins. So I'm just surprised that's the centerpiece of this budget.
Mayor Lightfoot would say the big difference on this one is that they're not extending the life of the loan. So the debt is going to terminate at the same time as it was always expected to. So it's not sort of extending those payments. It's just sort of getting a better rate because the market has changed when the city borrowed this money. But it is a bet that, you know, that interest rates aren't going to, you know, are going that they're going to be able to catch what, you know, sometimes is like it's catching a dagger, right? You want to catch it on the sides and not at the point.
Yeah, right.
You've got to be very careful because the market can turn on a dime or, you know, these days a tweet from the president, right?
Right, right. Heather Sharon, managing editor at The Daily Line. She covers all things Chicago, Cook County, and Springfield. Also has a newsletter in the morning. We'll take a quick break, come back. I want to talk about the breaking news tonight that the House passed the pension consolidation bill that Governor Pritzker wanted, taking some of the fire and police pensions from some of the municipalities in Illinois and putting them into two statewide funds. We'll talk with Heather Sharon about that coming up right after the break, so stay with us. Extension 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman with Heather Sharon, who is on the line. She is the managing editor at The Daily Line, covers all things Chicago, Cook County, Springfield politics. You can sign up for their newsletter as well. TheDailyLine.net is the website. All right, so let's get into some of the other things that are happening outside of Chicago. It has to be the biggest story is that Governor Pritzker wanted to consolidate some of the pension funds, and he got it done.
Well, he's on his way. It passed the Illinois House, and it's on its way to the Illinois Senate, and then he'll sign it. But it seems like it'll be a smooth sailing from here on out.
What does it mean? What when you know? For me, I see that story, and I'm like, I don't know if that has any impact on anything.
Well, so across the state, there are 649 police and fire pension funds, and they're all investing separately into stocks and bonds and mutual funds and hoping to get a good return on those investments so that they can pay their members' pensions when they retire. The idea behind this is if you create one giant fund for fire pensions and one giant fund for police pensions, they'll be able to make bigger, riskier investments because they will be able to withstand losses better than a smaller fund would. It's just like, you know, somebody who's wealthy can be more aggressively and have a more aggressive investment strategy than like somebody like me who like is like, am I going to eat canned tuna when I'm old and unable to work, right?
Yes. The answer is yes, Heather.
Yes, I absolutely am. So the idea is that this would improve those returns because a lot of these funds are not fully funded, that they're not in really good financial shape for any number of different reasons, including that the, you know, cities and the towns haven't been making the required contributions or they've suffered in the stock market's ups and downs and, right, and sideways turns. So this is designed to make them a little bit more stable. And the hope is, or at least Governor Pritzker's hope is that if this proves successful, and he's hoping that these funds will earn somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million more a day, that this could prove to be a model that could eventually help Chicago, because when it comes to Illinois pensions, Chicago is really the big issue, where the pensions are significantly underfunded and really need, if not a wholesale change, new solutions to figure out how to reverse really decades of disinvestment.
So 815 texts in and said, yeah, that's great, but it's kind of a bad gig for communities that actually fund their pensions. And I wonder about that. I wonder if a community say no thanks, you know, like we've actually fully funded our pensions and we like our investment plan and we don't necessarily want the big time investment strategy.
So it's only a partial consolidation that the city's pension boards would still make those investment decisions. So they would be able to. There would still be a level of local control to protect those. You know, what the funding levels are now, like nobody would suffer. And the idea would be that this would just, the funds would just be able to be part of a bigger pool as opposed to sort of being all out there on their own. It's the same concept as health insurance, right? You get to pay less if you're part of an employer-backed plan because they're insuring 500 people as opposed to five. And, you know, it's much easier to sort of withstand somebody sort of having a catastrophic illness if they're one of 500 as opposed to they're one of five. So it's that same concept.
With the with Springfield and the veto session wrapping up tomorrow, there's a couple of little things here and there that are going through as well. But Chicago had the big budget meeting today as well. And the big headline was that Mayor Lightfoot said that Uber is trying to bribe black ministers in town to sort of go against the rideshare tax. She had, didn't offer any proof, and it's kind of just an allegation. But how big is that? That I mean, if that is true, if that's happening, if Uber's trying to somehow bribe the church in Chicago?
Well, Uber across the board denies what Mayor Lori Lightfoot said today and are just incensed that she would make this allegation without offering any proof. And I should add that at the press conference where she made this allegation, she promised that she would get reporters the names of the ministers who made this statement to her, that they had been promised $54 million if they could get her to back off this proposal. And about an hour ago, we got emails from the press secretary saying that they would not release those ministers' names. So there's no proof that the mayor has offered that, that this occurred. And Uber says essentially that the mayor is confused because they made a counterproposal that they discussed with her office that would have generated $54 million for the city. And that was in no way going to be paid to anybody other than by the ride-hailing riders to the city in the form of taxes and fees. And they have asked the mayor to correct the records. The mayor acknowledged that they did have a proposal that would have generated $54 million. However, the mayor's office says that it didn't really hold water or address congestion in the downtown area, and is not something that the mayor is supportive of. But this was... there was a gasp in the
I mean, it's everything that's happening right now with lobbying in the state, and I mean, it's almost borderline criminal, and for there to be no proof to that, it's a little bit of a head scratcher that she would be so loose with the allegation.
Yes, and we were all sort of waiting all afternoon on pins and needles to see if there were going to be names attached to this allegation, and that there are not. I think will mean that this will continue to be a story as the city council prepares to vote on her proposal that would triple taxes on some rides, basically to and from the downtown area, in order to generate $40 million for the city and to plug and to just alleviate some of the congestion downtown.
Well, I mean, it's got an interesting little war of words and rivalry between the mayor of Chicago and Uber. It's always fun. All right, so when do they vote on this budget? When is the 2020 budget actually get voted in?
So they are doing this, at least the schedule calls for them to do so, 2 days before Thanksgiving, so November 26th, which right. I appreciate because that means I'll be able to enjoy my turkey a little bit stress-free. So they've got another meeting before then to start doing some of the preliminary votes to do it. And the big question, I think, for everybody is what sort of amendments the mayor is going to allow to the budget, because in the past, the budget proposals from the mayor have been, rubber-stamped pretty quickly by the city council. I don't know if that will prove to be the case again this year. But it would be relatively unprecedented if significant changes were made at this point.
Well, they'll find a way to make that push that vote to Wednesday night around midnight. So you'll get lucky. Heather Sharone is the managing editor of the Daily Line. She covers all things Chicago, Cook County, and Springfield. You can find all that information at dailyline.net and sign up for their newsletter, which comes out every morning. Heather, talk to you next Wednesday.
I sure will. Thanks, Justin.